You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here as always with David Ramil, and we are opening up the mailbag this Tuesday. David, before we get into it, we got a bunch of great questions. We got trade ideas. We've got whether or not the Heat are should be in Zach Lowe's desperation index, and baby names. We're going to talk about baby names later on. But I've got one question for you before we get to our fan questions. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Should the Heat trade for Jabari Parker? It's a loaded question.
Breaking out the big guns early. Obviously, Jabari no longer in the good graces of new Chicago Bulls head coach Jim Boylan. He struggled for most of the year after joining the Chicago Bulls in the offseason, and returning to his hometown hasn't worked out the same way he had hoped it would. A move, I think, or an outcome that a lot of people foresaw. I'm not sure if you were high on Jabari or not. I don't think we actually talked about that signing, but him coming off of some problematic health issues in Milwaukee and taking quite a bit of money, and even though it was a short-term deal, just 2 years, and next year isn't fully guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's a team option.
Okay.
So it's not guaranteed at all.
Right. Yeah. So as far as Miami is concerned, should they be looking to acquire a guy like Jabari? I think if you remove something like Tyler Johnson, although he's provided a bit of a spark off the bench, that frees up a little bit of the glut in the backcourt. Hopefully if Deion Waiters returns back from injury, he can take over some of those minutes that Tyler's been filling in lately. Not necessarily as a starter, but just, somebody who can provide some offense off the bench, initiate some of the offense, etc. And as far as Jabari's outcome in Miami, I mean, look, he's got something to prove, and he's more desperate to prove that than ever. Whether he realizes it or not, I think he's getting to that point. He's a smart guy. I've talked to him before. He understands what's at stake here, I think. And, look, he has defensive liabilities, without a doubt. His health has not been 100%. He's not explosive as a scorer, but he's a capable one. I think there's some fine-tuning that could be done in order to make him to a quality role player, and I think Miami's a good place to do it, and I think they can get him to understand how desperate he must be, and I think their development system that has worked so well in the past for taking veterans and getting them to be the best versions of themselves, I think would bring out the very best version of Jabari Parker, similar to what we saw from him even as a rookie and maybe even a better defender. And if that's the case, then you're getting a very, very talented player who's still young. Obviously, there are health issues. He has had a number of knee problems, and specifically against in Miami in one game, he blew out his knee again. And so it's been hard for him to make his way to 100% health, but I think there's still enough promise there. And again, you're not losing, you're not risking anything. You can invest in getting him to be the very best version of himself. He repays that with some gratitude and re-signs with the team next year at the cheap, maybe a longer-term deal. And at the same time, you get a quality player who can provide some offense, something that's been missing. And again, help shore up the front court as well, too. So I like that addition. And if you're going to not give up much, I'd say 100% make the move for Jabari.
Yeah, I think there's two approaches here. There's the one where, he's still a young, capable scorer with a ceiling. I don't know how high that ceiling is. He needs to want to play defense before we determine what that ceiling is. And that's the main thing. When we could talk about conditioning and health. He doesn't like playing defense. He really tries hard not to play good defense, it seems like, at times. Yeah. He needs to get a lot better on that end. But if there's a place that could rejuvenate Jabari Parker's career, it's Miami. And not even as a Heat fan, just as a fan of the NBA, if you want to see a guy like Jabari Parker succeed with all of his offensive talent, if you were to pick one of the 30 teams to put him on, it would be Miami. That's the team that if there's any organization that could sort of revitalize his career, it's the Heat. And so I think it makes sense as a pairing that way. For me, though, it's the second approach that makes the most sense. If you can trade Tyler Johnson, for example, to Chicago for Jabari Parker, straight up, maybe you have to throw in a second-round pick, a future second-round pick, or something minor like that. But if you could, if it's basically Tyler for Jabari straight up, you do it 100 times out of 100 if you're Miami. Not, I think Tyler Johnson is a much better basketball player than Jabari Parker is at this point. I don't think anybody could debate that. As good as underwhelming as Tyler has even been this season, he is a better basketball player. Like, he would be in the rotation for Chicago. Jabari Parker is not. So I think Tyler Johnson could actually help the Bulls. It would get him off of a what is a toxic situation. If you're Chicago, it gets them off of what is a toxic situation with Jabari Parker. Gets them a player who works hard, who I think would fit what Jim Boylan is looking for and help set the tone in that backcourt a little bit. I think, like I said, Tyler Johnson could help that Bulls team. If you're the Heat, I think you look at it and you say, okay, let's bring in Jabari Parker. If it works out, great. We pick up his option or we work out a contract. More likely than not, it probably doesn't work out in less than one season. We probably can't turn him around completely. But we get off of $19 million for next year, basically, because you're trading away Tyler Johnson. You just – you don't – it's Jabari Parker's contract next year is a team option. You don't pick it up. You walk away, and you free a ton of cap space. I think it's a no-brainer if you're Miami, regardless of whether or not Jabari is actually good for the Heat or not. I think just the simple action of getting off of Tyler's salary is a win. Let's go to this next question from Billy, who writes in, brought to you by Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. It's a trade idea. Atlanta Hawks receive Tyler Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, and Miami's 2019 first round pick that's top 10 protected. And if it doesn't convey in 2019, it turns into a 2022 and a 2025 second round picks. And then a 2020 second round pick from New Orleans with several protections on it. Miami receives Dwayne Dedmon, Solomon Hill, Wesley Johnson, and Jeremy Lin, and then the Pelicans get Kent Bazemore and Derek Jones Jr. So a three-team trade, a pretty big one. Ultimately, Miami loses Tyler Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, Derek Jones Jr., and probably what would end up either being this year's first-round pick, not out that would be outside of the top 10, or some future seconds, and then they get Dwayne Dedmon, Solomon Hill, Wesley Johnson, Jeremy Lin to sort of shore up the rotation, I guess. What do you think about this?
That's a tough one. I mean, from New Orleans' perspective, they get the wing help they need. From Atlanta's perspective, I'm not sure what Atlanta gets out of it, to be honest with you.
More picks?
I guess so. They're clearly in a rebuilding mode, and they unload some contracts. Not that there was anything wrong with guys like Lin and Dwayne Dedmon, but at the same time, I guess it helps them build their roster for the future for Miami, obviously.
And they could be patient and just sort of let the Tyler Johnson and Whiteside contracts expire. Like, they're not winning anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. That seems tricky.
Can I tell you what I think?
Yeah, go for it.
I hate this so much.
Okay.
And Dan
is a strong word for you.
Dan Favalli is really good at these trade ideas. I want to shout him out really quickly. He does these periodically for Bleacher Report. Yeah. And they're really good ideas, and they're unique ideas. They're original ideas. I hate this idea, with all due respect to Dan. And I've been on his podcast before. I like talking to him. I just hate this idea. The Heat don't need – this is like – the Heat need to do the opposite of whatever this is. Like, the Heat need they need consolidation trades. This is an expansion trade. This is trading two players to get four more rotation pieces. Like, where are these guys going to fit in? Now, I get – like, you get off of a couple of contracts here, but – I'm not willing to risk the 2019 first round pick. I don't care if it's top 10 protected. If it still ends up 11, 12, 13, 14, I would rather have that than Dwayne Dedmon. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where, like, these guys won't help the Heat. Dwayne Dedmon doesn't help Miami. Jeremy Lin doesn't help Miami. Like, these guys don't help Miami do anything more than what they're doing right now. So
they do
expire, wouldn't do
though, at the end of the year, though. At least Jeremy Lin's does. I think that. I mean, Dedmon, yeah. I don't know.
Solomon Hill is on the books for another year after this. Wesley Johnson's helpful, but, like, whatever. Like, maybe he replaces Rodney Magruder next year. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. This is not what I would do with these. I think you can. As much as I want to get off of the Whiteside contract, it's not worth even the risk of losing the 2019 first round pick. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I think you see Miami's situation being more akin to what the Hawks would be in this scenario, where they're acquiring more draft picks for the future. I think that's what you would prefer out of this, or conversely, you know, trading for a superstar, which obviously you're not going to get you're not going to equate Tyler Johnson and Hassan and get a superstar out of that. But
and to me, like, the losing the first round pick wherever it might fall, isn't worth just one more year of Tyler Johnson-Whiteside, because those contracts are expiring contracts next year. I would rather just wait out the rest of the contract than risk losing that first round pick, because that 2019 first round pick is going to be really important for Miami, because you know that I value that pick.
Or two second rounders, right?
Yeah, they're just like those picks are too important to Miami as far as a building process goes. As far as just adding more talent, it's just I would rather just wait out the two contracts. I would rather just do that than try to speed things up with Dwayne Dedmon and Jeremy Lin.
I can tell you that I think Pat Riley would make this move.
Oh my God,
I really think he would.
Okay.
Like, just really to unload Hassan, one, you give Bam the opportunity to be the starter and see what you get really and truly out of him. You've already got Olynyk to help shore up the center position, so why not unload Hassan? And whatever problems you perceive as far as personality is concerned.
I would hope that he would up the protections from top 10 to top 20. If he could do that, I still don't love it. I hate it regardless. If the pick is involved, I hate it. I'd rather just wait out the contracts. The 2019 pick to me is untouchable. It's untouchable.
They see themselves as not a top or a bottom 10 team, so they don't see that as a first rounder. And he trades away second round picks. I don't know,
like frivolously.
Phoenix. Like, I mean, that to me, yeah. He would do this in an instant.
Well, let's stop talking about it, because I do not want to wish that into the universe. Everybody, make sure to make your way to reddit.com/r/heat on Thursday, December 20th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. For our Reddit AMA, it'll be David and I answering any and all questions that you have about the Miami Heat, the podcast, superhero movies, whatever you want to talk about. Again, that's reddit.com/r/heat on Thursday, December 20th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Ask us whatever you want, and we look forward to chatting with you over there. David, is there any topics that we definitely want to talk about? Oscars, anything else? You got strong Oscars takes?
I have no Oscars takes. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen any of the movies that are up for nomination. I've long stopped caring about the Oscars. Superhero movies for sure. Comic books in general, absolutely.
Sure.
And sure, why not the Heat and the podcast? That seems like pretty good topics. I think we're fairly familiar with those.
Again, reddit.com/r/heat, Thursday, December 20th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you there. So Zach Lowe listed the Heat as one of his top five most desperate teams on his show Saturday Morning with Adrian Wojnarowski. We were up there with Charlotte, New Orleans. I'm trying to remember the other teams. Wasn't a great look. Ren writes in, we've missed the playoffs five times in the last two decades. Management running teams matters. Even considering recent mistake signings, at worst, we are a competitive eighth seed. Quote unquote, bleakest future doesn't apply to us until we hit a long drought like most of the league. It's hyperbole, BS, to be honest.
Ooh, Ren. Thank you so much for saying what I believe I feel, and I think a lot of our listeners feel, to be honest with you. I don't think it's bleak at all. I think there is a mindset that's prevalent in our society. I'm going to do it. I'm going full social commentary here.
Oh, boy.
Everybody wants something right away. It's an instant gratification type society. We're seeing rings with multiple Zs dictate how you view your franchise or your favorite players. It's all, as Ren said, hyperbole or BS, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, we're looking at this team. They're obviously a very successful franchise in general. They've had championship runs that fell short in some cases, but also resulted in three championships over the last, 15 seasons? Not even, 12 seasons. That's a pretty good run. You look at franchises like the Magic, the Suns, the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves made the playoffs for the first time in, 14 years? And then they blew it all up. It's ridiculous. I think we need to slow down a little bit as far as what our expectations are concerned. And if you're looking at this team and saying, well, where's the long-term plan? What's going on? Well, you know what? The long-term plan is to be as good as you possibly can be every season. You make whatever moves you can. Do I have a problem with some of the decisions? Absolutely. But I still see this as a playoff contending team, and I like it. I don't think it's bleak. I think it's low. Look, I love Zach Lowe for a lot of what he does, but there are some times where he picks a side, clearly just to pick a side. I don't think it's that bleak. I think he's looking at Miami and saying they need to do something, and you look at the salary cap situation. We've seen Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg work magic before. I expect that they'll be able to do it. What's so bleak about this? Like, in a year or two, things can clear up dramatically. Is it really that bleak to wait 18 months until you have a much clearer outlook than what you do now? Is it bleak over that short a time period, and you're saying it's that bleak a future? It's ridiculous. Like, I really think it's quite ridiculous of Lowe to say this. And I just totally disagree. It's not bleak. Maybe it's not great, But if that's your expectations, if you have this high bar that you have to reach and Miami falls short of that, I'm sure there's 20-something other teams that probably fall short of that too.
You know you did not convince me, right?
Oh, I mean, that's fine. We've talked about this a number of times.
I found the Zach Lowe's top five because I couldn't remember the other ones. New Orleans is number one. Sure. Most desperate. That makes sense.
But
you're trying to keep
reason.
Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
Right. They've got a very, very clear, like, that's a ticking time bomb, right? So I understand the desperation there. He calls it the desperation index. Number two is the Houston Rockets. I get it.
Okay.
That Chris Paul contract's going to inflate. They're not looking good. They thought that
their
they had maybe a couple more years of window.
Worse than Miami's, isn't it?
Well, they have better players, but yeah. But for them, it's like, it's the same thing as New Orleans. 100-year-old ticking,
Chris Paul making $45 million a year is not a better player, I think.
And their window is closing, right? Like, it's ticking time bomb there, too. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Number three is the Detroit Pistons in a very similar situation to Miami. Good, not great. Locked up cap space. No real means to improve. Some bloated contracts that are going to be hard to get off of. Charlotte, very similar to kind of all those teams, right? You've got that Kemba Walker star who you risk letting go, walk away for nothing. And then around Kemba Walker, you've got a bunch of bloated contracts for below average to average players. So very, kind of similar to all, you know, New Orleans and Miami and Detroit. But look, I think that the people keep telling me, wait 18 months, all these contracts come off the books. I don't know that Miami has any more advantage than any other team in the league. Like, you wait 2 years, every team is going to have cap space by then. Like, that doesn't give Miami any more advantage. So to me, yeah, it'll be nice when these contracts come off the books, but you still are going to have guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters under contract. You're still going to be dealing with those sort of long-term deals. I don't know what they're going to do with Goran Dragic this summer if he's still with the team. They could parlay that into a longer-term deal. I don't know that Miami's going to have significant cap space unless they really make some moves here. And even if they do have cap space, that doesn't really give them an advantage over any other team because everybody's going to have cap space at some time.
18 months is a long time, though, and a short time at the same time.
To get cap space that everybody else is going to have. What I'm saying is that it doesn't matter. If we have cap space and everybody else has cap space, that doesn't give us an advantage over anybody. It's just like, it's almost, I'm not saying it's irrelevant because, yeah, you can sign a player with that, but you're not, like, when you've got superstars that, and teams like the Lakers and the Clippers and Toronto and Boston, all these teams that are going to have the means to go get those superstars, I don't know where Miami falls. I think they end up, again, just getting in the room maybe and not – I don't know what – like, look at the free agents that are going to be available. Which one of them –
Is that bleak, though? Is that bleak?
Yeah, it's bleak.
That's bleak that you have freedom or that you can have an amount of cap space and that you may be able to sign a long-term free agent that could turn around your franchise. That's bleak.
People keep looking at it as, like, the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm saying there's no guarantee. Like, I'm not willing to count on it is what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't make me feel better. Like,
okay,
just,
but that's not bleak. Like, bleak is like
of the top, but they are one of the most five desperate teams. But they need to get off money. They have no room. They have no route to get a superstar unless they tank this year. Like, that's it. Like, that's the whole thing. And they're not, like, it would be one thing if this team,
that's not desperate to me.
It'd be one thing if this team were in the playoffs. This is barely going to be a playoff team. If they are a playoff team, they're barely going to get in.
They won and three championships over the last 10 years. I mean, that's...
The Dolphins won back-to-back championships in 72 and 73, and they haven't done anything since then. I don't care what you've done for me in the past.
Talk
I want
to me
this
in
team.
30
Look,
years,
I'm
ha- and then
if
we'll
this
see.
Team, if if this team is... If this team were 48, 50 wins, which I thought they'd be, but they haven't been this season, I would be fine with it. But they're not. Like, this team isn't that great to watch. That's the thing. I'm just not enjoying it as much. And that,
better,
to me, is ultimately what it is.
Okay.
I don't know.
I got to disagree. Look, I think that's part of the problem is, again, the championship mentality. Like, it has to be a ring. You look at the South Florida sports landscape with the Marlins in perpetual rebuild mode, the Canes struggling to find any way to win, the Dolphins' complete mediocrity year in and year out, and the Heat have been the one team that has proven that they can be a championship contender since 2004, really, when they acquired Shaquille O'Neal. And since then, you know, they've been a very, very good team, that one that at the very least makes the playoffs. And then all of a sudden you get this frightening desperation to you where you have to be a contender or else blow it up, and at least that gives you some sense of purpose. I think it's that all or nothing mentality is dangerous in almost every scenario possible, and especially when it comes to sports fandom. You can appreciate the team that you have because they're good. They're good guys.
They're not good.
They try hard.
They're average.
They're good. They're
average.
Not great. They're good. Not
they're
great.
Not good.
With the exception of Hassan Whiteside, I like rooting for this team, to be honest with you. And I think I can appreciate them.
I told you I'd be fine with Memphis Grizzlies East. I told you I'd be fine with that. They're not that. They're not Memphis Grizzlies East. They need to be a little bit better. They need to add one player. Really. Like one or two guys. And that's all I'm saying. But like the route to getting those guys is just not there. And that to me is why it's desperate. I just think that as currently constructed, this team is not good. They need to be better. And there's not really a way to get better, which is why I think it's desperate. That's why I think they're desperate. Yeah, that's the last thing I have to say about that. Oh, no. If they do get to Memphis, let's say they get Memphis Grizzlies East, right? They turn into a legitimate 48-50 win team, which they are not right now, and they're not very close to being that. If they get to that point, I think the outlook looks much better because you look at what goes on going – like, yeah, you've got Boston, you've got Toronto, you've got Philadelphia. Kawhi Leonard could leave Toronto, and then that team rebuilds, right? That would be their plan. They break it down there. You get rid of one team at the top of the East. I'm not convinced about Boston anymore. I was all in on Boston. Huh. I have a question about their high-end talent. Unless they make an Anthony Davis trade, I have a question about their high-end talent and just what's going on there. And I don't think Brad Stevens is as good as a coach as Eric Spoelstra. So I'm not that so there's that. And then you got Philadelphia, who I think is really set up well for success in the future. But who knows? The Jimmy Butler situation could always combust. We don't know how that works. So I think if you're the Heat, you end up at 50 wins. If you're that one, if you're Grizzlies East, I think you're looking really good. But they just got to get there, and it's hard to get there.
In the year the Heat won their second championship, the Raptors won 23 games. I just want to put that out there.
All right, let's get to our next question. This one comes from Rye. I seem to have put myself in the same position as David, as I have my first kid due any day now. I've been in denial and have been convincing myself that I'll still be able to catch all the Heat games. But as that day gets closer and closer, I'm coming back to reality and realizing this might not be the case. As someone who loves player development, and since we aren't contenders or getting rid of players anytime soon... Are they desperate, Rye? Would you say they're desperate?
No.
What are some things to look out for if I can only occasionally catch a game? E.g. Winslow's new confidence with his driving and three-point shooting recently. P.S. Please convince my partner that Udonis Alonso would be a great name for a little white kid from Australia. All right. It's kind of a two-part question.
It is. You want Let's talk about the second part first?
Okay. Second part. Udonis Alonso. Are you a fan? Like, you've had to go through this recently.
Udonis Alonso. I would not have picked it just because of the grandparent situation. It's always a major factor, particularly when you're a Cuban kid. You know, you got to go through your parents, and they kind of tend to gravitate towards easier sounding names, names that you can translate easily into Spanish. Udonis Alonso doesn't quite roll off the tongue in Spanish. So Alonso maybe a little bit, but Udonis not so much. So that would be a little problematic for us. And I can't – look – my wife's favorite player, Udonis Haslam. At the same time, I don't think she would have named her son that.
I kind of like maybe Alonzo Haslam, because Udonis Alonzo is two first names. So now I'm not saying change your last name, but maybe like Udonis Haslam, whatever Rye's last name is.
Okay.
Udonis Haslam is the whole name. I meant like Alonzo Haslam, last name. I have no problem with it. Maybe a Udonis Alonzo hyphenated middle name. Maybe that's a good... You know what I mean? Like, you do, like, your regular first name, your regular last name, and then you compromise with the middle name and get crazy. Let's go to the first part here. If we could – you're only able to catch a few games at a time. What is it that Rye should be looking for in those games? I like the Justice Winslow thing. To me, we did the what are we thankful for with Rohan for our Thanksgiving special, and I said I'm just thankful to watch Justice Winslow because, to me, he's got the highest ceiling of where he could be developing this season. So, to me, I think Rye's got it. I think it would be Winslow's confidence, his driving, and just really in general, the three kids, the Bam Adebayo, Josh Richardson, and Winslow. Just watch those guys.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I mean, I was thinking specifically Adebayo and noticing how he continues to grow as far as his versatility on defense has already been on display in his first year and a half, but I think we're going to continue to see that, where he becomes, if not necessarily an elite rim protector, a guy who makes things difficult, particularly out on the perimeter as he's guarding smaller players. So he's watching for that, and hopefully the expansion of his offensive game, because that's very limited. Although he did hit a three-pointer recently. Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, Richardson, whether or not he's able to embrace this role as the lead player on this team, I think that's something to look out for. We've seen some positive signs. We've seen some not so positive ones. So I think those are definitely the things to look out for. Other than that, yeah, I mean, Rise pretty spot on. It could be a little bleak, maybe, as far as the talent level on this roster, but you want to watch those guys as far as player development is concerned. Derrick Jones Jr. is another one to watch out for, seeing if he can continue to expand his role offensively and not be so much of a problem on defense.
So that'll do it for part one of our mailbag. We got more questions, so we'll do a part two. And that's going to go up tomorrow, but that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Tell your smart speaker, especially when you're getting them for the holidays. You got the Amazon Echo and all the Google Home thing and all that. You can say, play podcast Locked On Heat. That way you don't have to like press buttons or anything. It's great. Make sure you leave us a rating or review while you're on iTunes. Connect on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.